looking for peace and quiet. You know, it used to be you could go camping, and you'd hike off into the backwoods, or even go to a campsite, and the sun would go down, and it was relatively peaceful. But nowadays, people are taking their little portable devices, their DVD players, their sound systems, and they've got to run that with something. And so they bring out their generators and they start them up, and you go into these beautiful campsites out in the middle of nowhere, and there's all this noise. And I've discovered something. My brother has brought home a couple of his industrial strength earplugs. He works for the state of California, and he's a heavy equipment operator, and they want them to keep their ears safe and their hearing intact, and so they give them these earplugs that I think they will make quiet almost anything. So when I go camping now, I have to take my earplugs, because it's hard to find peace and quiet. No matter where you go, there's noise. One of the things I like about traveling around the world is you get out some places, number one, there's no light pollution. One of the things, if you've never had this experience, go to Africa for nothing other than this experience. Make sure that the airlines you fly on flies into the African continent at night. You're flying along and you can see these little lights down there. And as you leave Europe and you head onto the African continent, it just gets really, really dark. It's like, what's down there? Could be water, but it's not. It's land. And every once in a while, you see this tiny little light flickering out in the middle of nowhere. But you go out in that environment, and you see the stars like you've never seen them before. There's just no light pollution. And in general, when the lights go out, the power goes off, it's quiet. It's peace. Now, this last couple of days, I've experienced peace, and it's been too quiet. You know, the girls are off at boarding school. Jennifer flew out Thursday night to go see her grandma again, and I'm in this house all by myself, and it's a little too peaceful. I have to do things to make the dog bark so I know that something's around. Some of us get so used to living in a world with noise that we get bothered by quiet. I was camping one time with some friends, and one of the people just started going berserk because it was too quiet. They couldn't take it. They had to have some noise. Have we gotten so used to the buzz of life around us that we can't be quiet? You know, one of the things, as a pastor, I recommend that you do, you find a quiet place to spend with God. So there's no distraction. There's nothing coming in at you. And yet, quiet, peace, is difficult for some people. The world is getting less peaceful all the time. There's only one place the Bible tells us that we can find peace. Let's read about it. Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. I'll come back to that just for a second. So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both in God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. There's a lot of people that believe that the commandments was done away with the cross, and here's their text for proof. Now, this isn't part of my sermon, but this is a free sideline. I won't charge you any extra for it. But it says, doing away... having abolished in his flesh, that's the cross, the enmity that is the law of commandments. See, there it is. Having abolished the law of commandments. Now, what is the law of commandments? Of course, it must be the Ten Commandments, right? Wrong. Continue reading. Contained in ordinances. Do you know what that means? This is just a quick lesson for you. Moses gave, through God's direction, the children of Israel ordinances that they did. One of the things was, as you came in from outside, they had basins of water to wash herself to be pure, to come into the house or to come into the temple. That's an ordinance. And those things that were pointing to the cross, the Messiah coming and dying, there were many ordinances that they did to help them remember that. Those are the ordinances that were the law of commandments that were done away with or abolished because Jesus died on the cross. They're no longer necessary. Do we still go out and take a lamb and slit its throat and sacrifice it for our sins? No. That was one of the law of commandments contained in ordinances. It was all pointing towards Jesus and what he was going to do on the cross. And once that took place, there was no need for those ordinances anymore. So now when somebody says the commandments have been done away with, and it's interesting, they still believe you shouldn't steal, they still believe you shouldn't kill, they still believe you shouldn't commit adultery, they still believe you shouldn't covet, they still believe you ought to worship God. The only thing of those 10 commandments that you shouldn't do is keep the Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? The 10 commandments were nailed to the cross. And apparently when the disciples took Jesus' body down, they ripped off that commandments that were nailed to the cross, and wouldn't you know it, the fourth one got stuck up there. The other 9 are still relevant. But here's the explanation of the text that they use. But he himself, Jesus, is our peace. If you want peace in this world, you're not going to find it anyplace. You have to find it in God. Now it says there that there was two men warring against themselves, right? The old man of sin and the new man, the new creation in Christ. God, Jesus, brought that together on the cross. He put to death the war that we had in ourselves over the old man of sin and the new man of and woman of living for Jesus. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off. Remember, we talked about those who were distant from God, and in Jesus we were brought near, we were brought close to God, reconciled us together. He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who were near. You know, the Jews had a problem thinking they were kind of born into the kingdom of God. But Jesus came preaching to both those that were far off and those that were near. For through him, we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. You're looking for peace in your life? Is your life full of turmoil? You know, with the economy the way that it is your job in jeopardy? Is your home mortgage going out of sight with, I don't understand that. I haven't seen my mortgage go up with all this stuff. Matter of fact, it's gone down. But everybody on the radio is talking about your payments going out of sight. I don't know how that works, but people are losing their homes. They've gotten into mortgages they can't afford. They lose their jobs, whatever the case is. There's anything but peace. Now, this whole thing has been pretty good for the rental market. When they kick you out on the street, you got to live someplace, so now they go find someplace to rent. But can be a very stressful and unpeaceful time to live. The Bible talks about that. In Romans chapter 1, it says something about strife. Strife and unrest kind of go together. Let's read it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, there are whisperers. Those are the spirit world connection. You can hardly watch a TV program now that doesn't have spiritualism in it. Communication with the dead. Or I saw an advertisement for one where don't know quite how to put it, but he has communication with a person who's been murdered to help solve the crime. Now, what happens when a person dies? They're dead. The Bible says their thoughts and their plans, they perish. But is that the message that the media is giving us today? No. There's communication beyond the dead. Now, I believe, this may sound strange from an Adventist minister, but I believe there is communication going on. Just not with the person who died. What does the Bible say? God's word says that there are evil spirits. Remember those third of the angels that got kicked out of heaven? They're masquerading as people's loved ones who have died. And they're communicating. But it's an evil spirit. It's not the spirit of the person who died. There's unrest. There's war. Any wars going on around the world today? And you will hear of wars. You know, the two main ones that we think about are Afghanistan and Iraq, but there's a lot more wars going on than that. I'm not sure I could name them all. And then there's Matthew 24:6 says there are rumors of wars. I think of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That's always waxing and waning. They're either starting a war or finishing one up and talking about peace. There's rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. That's interesting. Live in a war-torn time and don't be troubled about it. This is in the context, Matthew 24, is in the context of Jesus' disciples saying, when is the time of the end going to be? And he starts going through this. There's going to be wars. There's going to be strife. There's going to be rumors of wars. But don't be troubled. John chapter 14 starts out with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We don't have to be troubled by what's going on around the world. I get kind of excited when I see Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Thank you, Larry. He's the only one who gets excited when he sees Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Because what does that mean? Jesus is coming. You know, my dad preached that he didn't preach this, but he believed that Jesus would come in his lifetime. Well, he's passed away 4 years ago now, and Jesus didn't come. I'm sure that was disappointing to him. But I'm here to tell you, I think Jesus is coming in my lifetime. I don't see how the world can hold together any longer than however long I'm going to live. That's exciting. We are Seventh-day Adventists. We're looking for the advent of Jesus to come. And with all the wars and the rumors of wars and the unrest and the strife that's going on, we can live in peace. Not only in our security that we feel in God, but we can live in peace with each other. The wars don't have to happen between us as Christ's family. You ever think of it that way? I don't have to war against James over here. Matter of fact, we know that we're on the same team. You get out there on the playing field with the team, y'all, where did that come from? I'm not from the South. We all, there we go, work towards one goal. We move in one direction because we're a team. What happens when that team gets too many stars on it and, you know, the focus is on me and you want the focus on you? It gets a little troublesome, doesn't it? We lose that peace. God gives us peace as his children, as his family. And how do we get that peace in our lives? I have to surrender and submit to the will of God in my life. I make that choice daily. Not only do I say, God, today I accept your gift of salvation, but I also accept your lordship of my life. You know, I talked about this last year when in a stewardship series, lordship issue. We're pretty good about saying, God, I trust you with my past. Why? Because we can't do anything about that. You know, please forgive my sins. I don't know how you do it, but I'll accept that. And we really can't do too much for our future. So we say, God, would you handle our future too? I want to be with you in heaven. But the here and the now, we kind of want to have control of that. And that's where some unrest and unpeacefulness comes in our life. We forget to make God Lord of our life, to follow his will and his plan for us. And when other people, all you need is two to have this happen. When both of you are not following the will of God in your life and you collide, there's a lack of peace. The church body, the church family should be an example, a light to the world of what can happen with people coming together and living for a common goal, to live at peace with one another. Probably one of the greatest things that speaks against Christianity is our own behavior towards each other. The world that's not Christian looks in on us and says, that's not working too well. You know, what do you have to offer me? There's so much strife and problems in between you. What does that give to me? And yet God is looking for a people to have the peace that the Bible says passeth all understanding. How do you live in peace in a world that's falling apart? I traveled to Rwanda about a year and a half ago. And you know, Rwanda had that genocide between the Hutus and the Tutsis. And in 100 days, 1 million people were murdered. That was a terrible time. They got all of the foreigners out of the country because it was a terrible time. They were just killing anybody and everybody. If you moved, they killed you type of thing. And when we were there, people would come up to me and thank me. They said, "Thank you for coming." And I thought it was because we were there preaching the gospel, but no. I finally asked this person, I said, "You know, I'm getting thanked many times a day for being here. What's that all about?" And they said, "You know, our country has had a lot of unrest, a lot of war, and there must be peace in the country for an American to come here." Isn't that a sad commentary? We only go when there's peace and safety. When we're there to preach the gospel, we ought to go anytime. But they were feeling very peaceful. The country must be at peace because the Americans showed up to do anything. And so I kind of understood why they were saying thank you. Now, it was interesting, just before I left James to get on the plane, I got this email from Sharehim, and it was a State Department warning. I've had that 3 times happen to me now. State Department warning, one to the Philippines, one to India, and one to Rwanda. Don't go if you don't have to. It's like, huh. And I got my team together, and I says, "What do you think? We go as a team or we stay home? We're going to preach the Word of God. Nothing can hurt us." And I said to myself, "Praise God, you're crazy. But I'm your leader, and I will be fearless. I will go with God." We went anyway. And, you know, nothing major happened, so that's good. When I got to Rwanda, I was met right off the plane by a gentleman wearing army fatigues with an AK-47. And he wanted to see my passport. It's kind of a nervous thing. I was standing in the right line to get the visa. I was feeling at peace. And then I was not feeling at peace. He took my passport and he left. That's not a comfortable thing, a place to be. He came back and he said, "Go stand in that line." And the line clearly was not where I was supposed to be. But when somebody has an AK-47 and they tell you to do something, you do it. And I said, "God, I'm here on your business. I'm trusting you. Everything will be fine." I walked over there, and he didn't give me my passport back, and that made me a little nervous. He went and gave the passport to the person behind the desk. And my turn eventually came, and I got there, and they handed me my passport back. They said, "Mr. Jones, welcome to the country. Enjoy your stay." And I said, "Excuse me, I need a visa, because you're supposed to buy a visa to get into the country." "You don't need a visa." I said, "Yes, I do. Your State Department says I need a visa." "You do not need a visa." And I'm thinking, great, I'm going to walk into the country now with no visa, and then I'm going to really be in trouble. This guy over here with the AK-47 set me up. He needs some more people in his prison or something. And I said, "Excuse me, I need to buy a visa." And she pointed to the man with a gun. She said, "No, he says you don't. Welcome to the country. Enjoy your stay." I turned and looked at him. You know, he never gave me so much as a smile. He just looked at me with that hard soldier, AK-47, I'm in charge look. And I walked into the country. Peace. Safety. I can go anywhere. You remember the song? "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go." That's my theme song when I travel around the world, because I'm going on God's errands and His business. Can't we have that same peace right here at home, no matter what goes on? I found it interesting. A news commentary said that there are major cities preparing for civil disobedience on November 4th. No matter who wins the election, they figure it's going to be such turmoil that they're calling in the National Guard and preparing them for civil unrest. Tuesday, I can be at peace because I'm trusting in an all-powerful God. Is that a good place to be? John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Today I choose to trust in God. Today I choose to let His peace fill me. No matter what happens with the stock market, what, a week ago, it dropped at 777 points or whatever it was. Somebody asked me, did you hear what happened in the stock market today? I said, no, I don't listen to the news. Well, you should have. I said, you know what? I live in peace. God's going to take care of me. And my 401k dropped to a 104. But you know, I live on God's retirement plan. Has God not promised to take care of us? Has he not said, look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? If, you know, God will take care of them, isn't he going to take care of us? Now, I'm not so sure I want to be fed by ravens. I want to put in my order in advance of what those ravens bring me. But can't God take care of us? Yes. Will God take care of us? How many of you believe that? Then you can live in peace, no matter what goes on. Today there's a lot of talk about what can give you financial security and peace. Today my recipe is very simple. God comes to us and says, here is my peace. And you can see it in action when you read the Gospels. Where was Jesus when the boat was sinking? Resting peacefully. Why? Because he had placed his hands in the hands of his Father, his life in the hands of his Father. He could be at peace. The disciples were all excited. You know, they were fear for their lives, and they finally woke Jesus up, and don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus just stands up and says, peace. Be still. And what was the word on the island when they got there? Yeah, the word travels fast. Even the wind and the waves obey him. If he can take care of that, if he can feed Elisha by the brook for years while Herod's trying to, not Herod, Ahab is trying to hunt him down, he can take care of us. That's the peace that I choose to live by today. I surrender my will and my life to Jesus today. How about you?